BW Monitoring.
K8RUH.
KCBS.
What's up, Dakota? How you doing, sir?
I'm doing, man. Just, got some gas, got a Red Bull on my way.
Very cool. It's been a while since I've talked to you. How you been?
Sorry, I was switching back to Romeo from that Detroit repeater. That's freaking amazing. I've been good, man. Day in, day out, grinding, trying to get through this yard project. What about you? How you been?
I've been good, just enjoying the weather when I can and trying to stay cool. You got all that dirt down now, or where are you at in the project?
It'll be knocked down hopefully this weekend. Driveway will be fixed this weekend. And then I can start the process of prepping it for seed, and then I can live happily ever after.
Awesome. Are we in the correct time frame for seed, or how does that look?
By the time it's done, it'll be just in the nick of time. I want to do it early to mid-fall. That way I can at least give it some time to germinate. Wet season hits it, keeps growing before it goes dormant, and then hopefully I'll be cutting grass in October.
Well, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? I'm sure you cannot wait to have this project done. I mean, it'll end up being a six-month project.
Yeah, I'm ready for it to be over. I've just got to get my neighbor's sump pump situated. The guy that I was working with initially, he's too busy, and now I got to find someone else. But once she's situated, my part will be pretty much done. And hopefully that's it. The rest of the stuff will be fun. Planting trees, building a deck, getting a shed. Not spending money on an operator and dirt and all that stuff.
Yeah, the other parts of it sounds like fun, as opposed to this part. That's cool. How was the fourth? Did you guys do anything? I saw that cool new boat that you have.
It was good. It was relaxing, and I'm honestly considering going.
Where are you
going? My radio shut off with the auto stop start. That's the first time I forgot to turn it off. It was good. I'm considering going back and back up there for Labor Day, but I don't know yet. It was kind of nice disconnecting, not having a phone. Yeah, played with the boat, played with RCs and stuff with the kids. So it wasn't terrible. What about you? You stay around, or did you get up north?
Man, I just hung around town. I do not go up north on holiday weekends. It's too crazy. I had a buddy that was in Sheboygan. I think it took him 7 hours to get home. That is not my speed, man. I will go up any other weekend other than a holiday weekend.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. My wife did the whole, what do you think about going up north thing? And I know that's like it's not worth picking that battle. So I just said, sure, whatever. But we're going up Thursday and we're leaving Saturday. Going up wasn't terrible. Took about, I don't know, with a stop, 25, 30-minute stop for Subway and hanging out. Took about 4 hours, and it should only take about two and three quarters. On the way home, it took 2 hours and 40 minutes. So very happy we left Saturday, not Sunday, because I saw Snapchats of people coming home Sunday. I bet you it would have took me 5-6 hours.
Absolutely. Where were you at?
My in-laws have a cabin up in Mantelona. I think it's a I want to say it's just south of Kalkaska.
Yeah, I have a rough idea where that's at. That's cool. Yeah, man, that holiday weekend drive, it's not for me. Hey, I am pulling into the office here. I'm going to hop out. If I can get set up and get back on my phone, I'll call back out, and maybe we can chat. So I will catch up with you otherwise. This is KE8RUH, and I will be clear on your final.
All righty, bro. Good catching you out here. It's been a minute. I know we text every now and again, but it's not to say just talking. Have a good day. If I don't catch you, if not, I'll talk to you later. N8DBF. W8FU. Good morning. Uh-huh. You just missed Anthony by about 3 minutes. Ah, there you go. He's on that early shift, man. I guess he probably enjoys getting off earlier. During the summertime, yeah, I think that would be the way to go. If I could cash out by 3 o'clock and go do whatever I want to do for the rest of the day, I don't care if I got to get up at 3 in the morning. Yep. Man, a lot of moisture in the air. I got my windshield wipers on really slow, but it's weird. My window seems to be, but nobody else seems to have them on. What the hell's going on here? Weird. Yeah, last night and this morning was super foggy. I had the same thing. I had condensation dew, whatever the hell it's called, all over my truck. I had to roll down my window to pull out of the driveway. Yeah, what's weird is as I'm driving here, my window is accumulating dew. You know, and like right now, it's got enough to sweep. And might have my wiper on a little low. Okay, there we go. Boom. Okay, I just swept it. And so now as I drive here, I can see the moisture reaccumulating. So that's just in the air. Yeah, hopefully it clears up as you start going. Mine took probably about 5 miles until I could see clearly again. I don't know why we have... it did rain, though. Yeah, whatever. I don't mean to dwell on it. Just odd how it's blue skies and sunny. I don't see any fog, but there might be out about a half mile. It looks a little hazy, so it's not a really dense fog, but enough to wet the window. Weird. Oh, anywho, so I'm hoping to finish out the week today. They owe me a bunch of time. I'll just take tomorrow, call it even. Got some things to do. Hey, a Cybertruck, black with red Eddie Van Halen stripes. Got some work to do in one of my dispatch centers. Shouldn't be a bad day. There you go. It takes me a Did you, speaking of work, did you ever come to a conclusion on Warren? I feel like it's fine, right? I haven't used it a whole lot, but I haven't noticed it not hearing me. I haven't really been evaluating it. So, you know, I have to probably do that. But... I haven't really done anything since I discovered that the receiver was down a little. I heard you last night working TJ's machine to pretty impressive distances. You were out at Van Dyke and 33, I think, when I was eavesdropping. It was working pretty good for you. So, that machine's working pretty good. I was on it this morning, too, at Dryden and 53, and it was totally fine until I got into town and I got a little squirrely because of all the buildings. But, yeah, that thing, that's got to be up there, right? Oh, yeah. I don't know how high, but it's up there big time. So, A4 ZYQ. Good morning, Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, I should be on the Warren one right now. Is it coming through okay, Sean?
Yep, you are.
Full quieting.
I learned this morning that the auto stop start in my truck reboots my radio.
You guys go to it. I just wanted to check out. You said something about the Warren repeater, so I thought I'd jump in and try it. But you guys go to it. Have a good day at work. Good travels. Safe trips. And have a good day. From KE4ZYQ. Over to you, Sean.
Okie doke. All right. Good morning, Joe. Hop in anytime if you got something. Something piques your interest. But, so, refresh my memory, Dakota. What radio do you have in there? Is that that ICOM 2730 or whatever? NADBS. No, that's on the desk. No, that's my crossband pseudo base station radio with the Comet and Maniac that I love and adore. This is the FTM-150 RASP. That has been flawless since I got it. Super happy with it. I don't know if you've been following along on that new Kenwood mobile, but the thing literally is the size of the ICOM 705. So I'm having a hard time getting excited over it. Yeah, that's a big radio. When really, you know, it's all about the display. Well, ergonomics, I guess. You know, they can either go small, or you give me a really gorgeous display, or some really sensible controls. But if you're in a mobile, I think you could make an argument for controls. I feel that the older radios were a lot easier to, like, operate on the fly, you know, because there was a button right on the front marked tone, you know, and if you would tap it, you would turn tone on and off, and if you would tap and hold it, the tone frequency would pop up in your display, and you would roll the VFO knob until you got the tone you wanted. I mean, that was easy, right? You could do it while you were rolling. And, you know, good luck changing the tone while rolling, you know, on these new radios. But anyhow, that's not the conversation. Yeah, okay, so that's right. You got that little Yaesu. Yeah, I've noticed that about Yaesus. They on the start-stop on these cars, when the voltage dips or whatever it does, they do that. You can often try changing where you've got the power coming from. You know, go right to the battery. I actually put a, like one of those big one-farad caps or whatever they are that the guys get for their amplifiers, car stereo, on the line for my FTM 500 that I run. Well, the 500 doesn't really do it. It just makes that farting noise, because you remember that. But my, I think my 200 used to do that same thing on the start stop, and that stiffening cap took care of it.
Question.
Go ahead, Joe.
KE4ZYQ, well, you just got me curious because I haven't had a radio in my car in a while. I have a Yaesu 7250 I'd like to put in there with a magnet mount, but if you wire it directly to the battery and you turn your car off and park it in your garage for a while, does that draw a lot of watts or a lot of, you know, amperage on that radio being on standby? Even though the radio's off, it's got to have something to keep the memory there. What do you say, Sean and Dakota?
These have flash memory, so even if they don't have power, they should keep the channels and whatnot. I don't think they've got anything like CMOS or that, do they, Sean? And it's funny you mentioned the tone thing, because I was talking to Tom on the way home last night, and he told me to try that 175 machine. And it took me like a good 2 minutes to find out how to change the tone squelch on the channel. So it would be nice to have some better controls. I got the room for that radio the way I have my dash mount set up. So I'll probably get it just because it's got everything in it. Do I need it? No, but I've had my eye on it since they announced it. So go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, well, to touch on Joe's question, the radio shouldn't draw anything while they're off. There are some radios that that do if they have like some sort of a remote power on or something, but now they shouldn't draw anything if they're off. Now, if you're connected to the battery and you leave it on, of course, still pretty minuscule, but it will draw something, very little if it's not receiving, if it's receiving a little bit, draw a little bit more. Of course, you won't be transmitting if you leave it on when you're out of the car, but if it's off, shouldn't draw anything. And, the memory is non-volatile, so you should, no problem there. They don't need anything to keep the memories up anymore. I don't know. I'd have to see that, Kenwood. I really would. I'm just thinking back to like some of. I used to love Kenwood Mobiles. They were just the best, bar none. And but that was a long time ago. And when they started getting cutesy and downsizing and everything like that, they started to get, they were less impressive and stuff like that, but the old, 721, 731, and everything you wanted had a button on the front, so reverse, if you wanted to check the input, there's a button right on the front, and that's something you want quick, you don't know when you're going to want it, and you just, boom, it was right there, repeater shift, there was a button right on the front, there's a tone. All the things you would want, the set of frequency, tone, offset, right on the front, on a button, simple, short press would be on, off, long press would be change the, offset or change the tone or something. Just real intuitive, real easy to use, real easy to program on the fly. So, now that's, a lot of radios today are a lot nicer in many other ways, but I don't like how menu-driven they've gotten. You got to dig deep to change a lot of things. And global things, God, I hate that. Like, I forget, I think it's my Yaesu. Hold on a sec here. I think it's my Yaesu you set the tone globally. Oh, is that annoying. But, hey, tis what it is.
And I was going to ask you guys, too, what gauge wire do you run for the power supply? To the battery, direct to battery. What do you say, Dakota?
Oh, I don't remember. Sean, I always say it. Yaesus are just the quirkiest ones out there. And I wonder if these menus became more prevalent when they got better at developing software and firmware for these radios. Think back to the older stuff where maybe they couldn't make it that menu-driven, and I had to have buttons for everything, but I agree. I like stuff that's quick, accessible. I hate digging through stuff. I got my ICOM ID50 yesterday, and I picked it up, and it's like riding a bike from my 52. Like, the menu just makes sense. Everything's where it should be. There's quick, long presses, short presses to get to stuff, and they have to because there's no keypad on it. I think that's how everything should be. But, Joe, I think I run, I have, back to Sean's statement about the capacitor, I have a power, what do they call that, DC filter, so it's always getting 13.8. That's in line, too, but I think it's 18 or 20 gauge. Sean, correct me if I'm wrong.
That'd be a little light for a mobile, I think. I'd probably run 10 minimum, and it depends on the power of the mobile. If it's a 20-watt mobile,
you know, if it's a 50 or 100 watt mobile. Now, I think some of the ham stuff's 50. At 50 watts, you know, if you're going to run 50 watts, then, yeah, you might want to take that up a notch. But I think 10 about, to me, 10 seems about the minimum I'd run. And if I can find a chunk of, like, 8, you know, or something like that, I'll do it. But I don't think you need it for, you know, necessarily for a mobile radio. Yeah, maybe I'd go to, maybe 10, 12, something like that. But that's what I'm thinking. So, because, you know, there's drop. It gets in the trunk. And, you know, and of course, I'm thinking commercial here because, you know, we run out to the battery and then we run them all the way through the car to the trunk and you don't want a lot of drop or anything like that. And I'm usually dealing with 50 to 100 watt radios. So, you know, your mileage may vary. I think whatever the manufacturer has on the radio, there's the gauge.
QSL, that 84GYQ. Shoot, there's something else I was going to say. Oh, the neat thing about the Yaesu 7250 mobile is the microphone has a lot of functions. You can program three P buttons on there. So there's three buttons you can program to whatever you want them to function for. And I like the ABCD buttons. One of them is a D button on the mic here. You can push and change your power by the toggle switch on top of your radio. So it's easy to do a lot of functions. There are certain main functions on the microphone. Over to you, Dakota.
Sean, you're right. I was way off. It's 12 gauge. I don't know why the hell I was thinking 18-20. That's what I make my antennas out of. And, yeah, Joe, the newer Yaesus have something similar. We've got P1 through P4, and they started doing that on the, was it the 400, Sean, or was it the 300? They started doing the, forgot what the P stands for, the P buttons.
I don't think I have that on the 400, but, in fact, I don't even know if I got that on the 500. I think that's unique to the 300, and it might be on your 150, but I don't think we had that on the 200, the 300, or the 200, the 400, or the 500. So, it's something they do, but it's not something that, oh darn it, I thought I was farther back than I am. I was going to stop at Big Apple and get myself one of them terrific bagels, and I'm already past that location by a mile or a couple of miles. God darn it. Anyhow, I don't think my 200, my 400, or my 500 has the programmable function buttons anymore.
Yeah, Dakota, I think the 7250, what I'm talking on now, is one of the early ones that had it. And the P1 through 4, I guess, stands for program. Program 1, 2, 3, 4 button. So I got mine the way I want it for input frequency or whatever. If you want to go to the input frequency and get somebody direct, you can check it out. But anyhow, I am going to step out this time, guys. And I use 12 gauge. I was thinking 12 gauge for the battery power. So you guys, what you're talking about is what I was thinking, 12 gauge. So I think I got some of that, I hope. But anyhow, again, 7-3 for sure this time. But take care, you guys. Thanks for letting me jump in. KE4ZYQ.
Catch the break.
WAQD.
Was that a break?
WAQD, it is.
Good morning, Walter. Was that you that was doubled with Joe there on the break? You're a little weak today.
Because I'm outside on my deck, sitting underneath the patio heater on low, drinking some coffee. Not using the heater for so much heat, but trying to dry up the air a little bit. You guys were talking about that. Am I in there good enough, or should I go somewhere else?
You're like right on the cusp. If you lean a little to the right or left, you'll either be gone completely or you'll clean right up. You're right on that noisy cusp where we can hear everything, but now that I've said it, you'll probably be uncopyable. Dakota?
NADBS. Yeah, Wally, I second that. I can hear you, but you're like a fart in the wind, just drifting. Sean, double check on my 200 and 300. I know for a fact I had those buttons, and like Joe was saying, you can actually do reverse. I've got one set to change my power. There's a couple different things. It gives you a set of features that you can pick from, but my 2-3 and 500 had it, and my 150 had it. But I only really use the power option on it. Wally, try again.
But if I use the ground wire, that'd be WADD.
Now you're rocking the free world in America. Go for it.
I was going to tell Joe, you know, the wire size, too, that it's very important. You match the fuse to the wire size. That's what prevents fires, and that's what causes fires. A lot of guys will use a 20-amp fuse, and they'll go ahead and use 14 or 16-gauge wire. As a rule of thumb, especially in my line of work, you know, if you got a 20-amp fuse, you have to use, you know, and you want to protect it, you have to use 12-gauge wire. You know, if you have a 10-gauge wire, you want to use a 30-amp fuse, because the idea is you want it to carry the load, but if something happens, you want it to carry the load enough to make sure the fuse pops. And that's the most important thing with these gauge wires and everything else, especially if you're coming from battery direct or a source that's not protected. You want to make sure that the gauge wire will hold up enough current to blow the fuse and not let enough current to go through, you know, to go ahead and cause a fire. That's the biggest thing. When you're doing the direct thing, is the inline fuse size has to match the wire size. That's all I wanted to say about everything. WADD, Dakota, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not even, I don't think on this radio I'm even fused in line. I'm fused at my test, but I'm undersized.
I just ordered a over $9 coffee from Starbucks.
Sometimes you just gotta treat yourself.
Oh, I'm using stars. I got stars expiring if I don't use them. So it's like, all right, that's when I get the stupid stuff. I should be solid now. Well, you were.
Yeah, but the Star 99 and the pound is kind of difficult to keep track for me, so I figured, all right, I'll just walk in the office and use this. Yeah, the fuse is more important. But if you don't have your bead fused, you know, if you're going to run it directly to your battery, make sure that you've fused the bead. Not so much to protect the radio, but to protect the wire in case something happens, because you want that to pop, you know. And you want the wire to carry enough load to make the fuse pop. So, and that, like Sean said, that would probably protect your radio from start-stopping. You know, it's a feature built in. We're trying to save power. Make sure that you're not talking while you're driving.
Yeah, I'm running, like I said, I'm running a tap fuse. I want to say it's a 15 or a 20 amp. I don't remember what circuit I tapped into, but I don't think I got to worry about the radio pulling too much without blowing.
Yeah, it's the wire and the fire you want to protect. The radio will protect itself. I think professionally, I think I've seen what Sean's installer guy does. I think he hooks right up to the battery, and there's a nice inline fuse right after that, right after the battery. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, yeah, you got to have something out at the battery because, you know, things going through the firewall, that's a real dangerous spot right there. Some, you know, we grommet them and everything, but.
I'm always too lazy to take on the challenge of getting through the firewall.
Yeah, nowadays there's so much stuff going through the firewall, you got to know where to go. You have to pay a lot of attention. You know, in his world, they always use kind of like the same kind of vehicles. So they, once they got it right, they kind of know where to go all the time. So they're pretty safe. You know, you screw up the first one, and then the next 50, you probably do okay with. So, but yeah, if you're going to go there, just make sure you protect it as close to the battery as you can, and match the fuse size to the wire size, and you'll be golden. And you can also buy that corrugated tubing stuff from, what the heck is it, cheapy place, Harbor Freight. They carry a whole bunch of it, and I always try to put corrugated tubing around anything that I use as well. It looks prettier, too.
There you go. Speaking of which, I gotta finish the install on my Escape. I've got almost everything. All my radio equipment is. I think I'm gonna go back to the 200, and I'm gonna move the 500 in the house, and see if I prefer the 500 or the 400, and pick one, flip a coin, and sell it. And I think I wanna get my XTL back in the car. And more than anything, I want to get my HF setup going in there. I've got it like 90% installed, and I just haven't pulled the trigger and went the extra mile. Just so many other projects the last year or two. If I do have free time to spend on ham radio, it's usually, you know, amateur repeater related or something like that. So this is the first time in probably. Since I got back into the hobby, for sure, but when I was active, I always had HF in my car, always, from day one, and I mean, I remember the days when I had an ICOM 735 or a Kenwood TS-130 and, you know, larger radios like that in the car. You know, your cars had humps, and you would put, we'd make little trays into the humps and put these big, you know, 7300 size radios in the car. But, I gotta get on the bandwagon and do that, get my car all set up.
Question?
Go ahead, Joe.
KD4ZYQ, I apologize. I've signed off two or three times. I gotta ask Dakota. This is gonna bug me the rest of the day. Dakota, if you've got a Yaesu you're talking on right now, or the one you've been talking about, if it has a ABCD button, I don't know if yours works like my 7250, but instead of programming one of the programmable buttons, the P4 or P whatever, 1 through 4, I don't know if you know that if your radio works like my 7250, the D button is already programmed for the power, so if you want to change your power output, you push D and then work the toggle switch up or down. So I don't know if the ones you have, the models you have of Yaesu, does similar or not. But if you didn't know that, that's a very handy feature already in the mic with the D button on mine, at least, for pushing it. Power comes up whatever I'm on, and then I can toggle switch up or down that feature. Over to you, Dakota.
For the first time, just realized I have ABCD on this microphone, so I will have to investigate that a little bit further and see what other hotkeys I can program in there, but that's good to know. I appreciate that little nugget of information. Sean, what are you running for HF in the mobile now?
Wait a minute, you're talking about ABCD buttons that are programmable on the microphone, just before I comment. Is that what you're talking about?
P1 through 4 and ABCD on the mic, yes, not on the radio.
That's my confusion. That's why I said I don't think the 200 had it, but I know the 300 did, because the 300, I think, had them on the face of the radio. With the 200 and the 500, none of those radios did. You're talking about the mic. Yeah, of course. Right. And those are nice, but I don't know if they have a short press, long press, do they? Because that was the cool thing about the old Kenwoods I was talking about, because they had a button marked tone, and short press would be tone on, tone off. Long press would be set tone. So was just so intuitive, you know. And then, you know, plus minus, you know, simplex, plus minus simplex. If you press and held it, you could set the offset. You know, now I don't know how useful that one was. You know, but things like that with that short press, long press, and dual functionality and stuff like that. But I don't know if you can do that with those buttons. So in order to do the tone thing like I was describing, you'd have to actually use two buttons unless they have the short press, long press thing. Anyhow, enough on that. So I've got a few mobile radios. I think I'm going to settle on my IC7000. I have not found a better mobile radio than the IC7000. It has one caveat, and that's the cable separating the head from the RF deck is proprietary. And if it goes bad, you're kind of screwed, I think. Wait, maybe not. No, that might have been the 706. So, yeah, maybe not on that. But the 7000 has, it's a little, the display is just, it's composite video. It's not really, you know, a separate control head per se, so that makes it a little persnickety. But the 7000 to me is the finest. I've got a Kenwood 480, is it? I like that really well too. A little larger, has a lot more buttons and switches and that, but doesn't do the VHF UHF, which you know, whatever. And you know, and a little bit harder to mount, but you know, that one's really nice for mobile. And then I was thinking about the 705. The only problem is I run an amp in the mobile, and I got to get the power up to at least 50 watts to drive the amp satisfactorily. So you know, the 705, that's the only killer. If I could just get the 705 up to, I'd probably start running it. If I could just get the output of it up to about 50, you know, to drive that amp better. Anyhow, Dakota, that's a lot there. But for the most part, IC7000 ICOM. All right, that answers my question. To answer your question, Joe, help me out here if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure those function buttons on the mic are singular function only. It doesn't matter if you hold it or if you tap it.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Yeah, it is single press. You don't have to hold it long. And thanks to this discussion, guys, I found out something just now, Dakota, that I didn't know. On my Yaesu 7250, which I'm on now, the ABCD button, the D button is for the volume, or the wattage, excuse me, the wattage. And you push it once, and the wattage comes up on the screen. You can toggle switch up and down, and then push the D button again, and you get out of the wattage output on the screen. And then the C button is for squelch. If you have to add or take away squelch to get somebody that's got a faint signal, you can toggle switch that off from the mic, too, a single quick button. Push button on the C button. So there you go. Over to you, Sean.
Hey, I'm just walking in the door here at work. I might jump back in here in a few after I say hi and figure out what the day is bringing. But I got to jump out right now. W8FU.
You lose your Dakota?
Elevator.
We lose you for a minute there, Dakota, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, I was in the elevator on my way up to the office.
Too much of that last transmission there due to the location, I guess, and being an HT maybe. 7-3 to all, I guess. Have a good day. And this is 7-3 for now. KE4ZYQ. Thanks for the info.
Hey, Joe, are you still there?
KBAB.
QSL, had a high sticker on, usually a few seconds just in case something happens after.
Hell of a time with my All Star. I got it figured out, though. I had the wire plugged in the wrong way for programming mode. I got to get ready. I got to get to work. I got a meeting this morning. So you take care. Have a good day. WAVD.
Yeah, I think you were the one that was talking about the right wire gauge for the right amps or fuse. So I'm going to figure that out. I was thinking 12 gauge, so 12 or 14. I think 12 would be the best. I'll have to check it out. KE4 or ZYQ?
Use 12 gauge, use a 20 amp fuse or a 15 amp fuse. Okay, don't use anything bigger because that's what, then it would carry enough of current to create heat in a fire and not pop the fuse. So just make, and you can Google it anywhere, just match the wire size to the fuse size closest to the battery and you'll be okay. That'll protect it. It's not so much the radio you're trying to protect, you're trying to protect your vehicle and the wire going to the radio. The radio will protect itself.
QSL, well, I appreciate it. And have a good one. KE4ZYQ. Clear.
Kind of cool.
I mean, you can punch in and listen to Hertz frequency. There's a lot of repeaters that you could go ahead and listen to. And you could also, you know what, you could put, I think you could put ground wire on your phone. Well, no, ground wire is only going to take you in there. I don't think ground wire is. Maybe it is. I have to ask Sean. Or I can ask him. But you can put an app on your phone, ground wire, so you can listen. The only thing about it is when you talk, you have to hit star 99. And when you're done talking, you have to hit pound. But you can listen no matter where you are. When we were down in, I forget the name of the country, I was able to listen in on the entire net because of it. Oh, the content.
Yeah, where you were drinking margaritas by the ocean.
I was drinking something. I don't know. Whatever. It's a nice trip, but you definitely don't want to leave the grounds. They tell you don't leave the grounds unless you're with one of them.
Oh, I get it. I have no doubt in my mind that that's what you need to do. I mean, I watch a TV show called The Catch a Smuggler, and they're talking all about that stuff.
Yeah, well, they more or less want you for the ransom. So, I was a good boy. We stayed on the grounds. We left a couple times, went to the resort next door, but they took us. You know, they got their own little 6 and 8 passenger golf carts, and they said, oh, you want to go next door? Come on, we take you. You know, you don't walk, we take you. Even though it was probably only a quarter mile, half a mile, they said, no, we take you. So, I said, okay, that's fine. I'll be lazy.
W-A-R-C-Y. And, of course, CD, Gold, Redondo, Huntington Beach, stuff like that. Never been anywhere else.
Yeah, well, this one one of the vendors paid for, so I was good on that. Hey, Don, what's up? I heard you in there.
I got a problem with the 5550E mobile unit. You programmed the All-Star into it. Did you program it as a simplex only or as a duplex? Because the radio is not transmitting to the node.
Did it work before?
It worked when you put it in, but then you made the changes to Troy and to that GMRS frequency in Detroit, and I just tried to use it now, and it's not transmitting out. So there was a change made between the initial input of the frequency. Something happened.
Look, I don't know if I would have touched it, but let me take a quick gander here.
Good morning, Tom. You don't have to look at it right now if you're busy getting ready for work, but I just now tried to key it up, and it's not working. And I've run that radio on 1 watt because it's a 1 in 40, and I don't want to blow up the node on a 40-watt radio that's only 2 feet away from the node.
You ain't going to blow nothing up. Hold on here.
Trust me, I've blown some things up. I even melted a laptop, so, you know, I mean, come on. Nothing's not outside the realm of possibility for me.
Good morning, Don. KKKJO. And I know about blowing things up. I did that to a 8-reader board that was about $4,500. One slip of the wrist, and I shorted it out.
Well, as a child, I accidentally threw a can of hairspray or spray paint into a inferno, and when it exploded, I found a piece of metal in the top of my thigh, and I still have the scar to prove it, so that's one of my dumb blow-ups that I did over the years as a kid.
Are you still there? Thank you.
coffee yet this morning, and I'm still trying to function. It was a long night last night, and I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, Don. Oh, yeah. I see what happened. Yeah. I did it again. I got your receive frequency at 433.575 and your transmit receiver at 443.575. I really got to get skinnier fingers.
Okay, I'll make note of it so when I see you in the fall or whatever, and we make changes because we got to put that, we got to put TJ's repeater in both radios, the mobile and the HT. I'll make a note of it that that's got to be corrected. I'm not in any need for it because the HTs will be fine here in my apartment, but I just went to turn on the big box radio today. That's what I call my 5550E because of the power supply. And I went to talk to you guys, and it wasn't working, and I'm going, oh, no, don't tell me. And, yeah, so I'm not mad, not upset, I'm not angry. It just got fat-fingered again, and, you know, we'll get it straightened out. But I'll see you, like I said, maybe around the Labor Day time, and we'll get some changes and things added for the winter.
Change your frequency in your node for temporary.
Yeah, but then I can't use the HT. So I might as well just keep it in the HT like I'm talking to you now. It's in two HTs. I'm actually on my Wooks on this morning. And, yeah, again, at least we know what the problem is, what happened. No big deal. No big problem. We'll get to it probably in the fall when some other changes are going to happen with, you know, frequencies and devices and everything else. So I appreciate what you do. I'm, like I said, I know I repeat myself. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm thankful and grateful for everything you do. We'll get it straightened out in time, and I've got ways of communicating. So that's all that matters.
Easy fix. Take about 30 seconds. It'd take longer to get the radio here than it would to do it. So, all right, yeah, that's what it is. So, and TJ's, that's the VHF on the M1, right, Tom?
I thought it was UHF. TJ just did on UHF 42175.
Yeah, what was the PO on that?
23. And Phil's in Fret. They're all 123.
Very good. Yeah, either I need a bigger keyboard or skinnier fingers, because I've been doing this a lot lately, you know. And part of the other reason is I type fairly fast, and I usually don't proof when I type because I don't make too many errors typing. And when you do make errors, you know, typing emails and stuff for work and things like that, it corrects it. But when you're typing in frequencies, it doesn't correct it. AI needs to work on that.
The biggest thing is we know what happened, and it's an easy fix. Like you say, it's just a matter of getting the radios back and forth, and we'll take care of that in the fall, because there'll probably be other changes that will happen between now and then. So I have ways of using the radio with the node here in my apartment, and the base unit is just, you know, an extension of everything. And sometimes the sound quality is better out of my 5550 than it is out of an HT. So, okay, we know what the problem is. I'll let you two continue on. I'll let Wally get back to work, or get to work. And thank you for your time. W8RCY.
Well, there you go, as Sean would say. All right, Mr. Tom, I have got to get ready because I was late for the last meeting. Of course, they really don't yell at me anymore. They don't say anything, just kind of smile and say, hey, you working today?
All right, still get ready for work, get to that meeting,
Dobby Light ZD. Take care, guys.
This past weekend, my laptop melted. I mean, it got so hot inside, the buttons were melting, and the security bolt for the cable lock melted into the computer, and I couldn't get the bolt off to save it for my next laptop. So besides blowing things up and scarring my leg, I also know how to melt things. So I'm extremely talented in the world of destruction. W8RCY, we're clear.
I've never done that. That's why I did what I do to help prevent it. Easy.
Boo-doo, boo-doo. That's a poor representation of the sound my XPR makes when it powers up. Sometimes I question your dedication to Sparkle Magic.
Hey, Sean, W8RCY, Don. Yeah, I heard you say something about an XPR and then something else. Were you talking to me? My radio was turned down.
No, I was just babbling, seeing if I could draw anybody out of the woodwork. And look, I did. Did a Donnie Darko quote, and I mimicked the sound that my XPR makes when I fire it up poorly. Dee dee doo doo. And what else did I do? I don't know. I think I explained that. Nope, just babbling.
Must not have had your coffee yet.
Well, I am drinking a almost $10 coffee.
Hoo-hoo!
It's got so many shots of espresso in it, my hairs are standing up. But I am at my next stop here, so I'm going to have to, and I can't dilly-dally because as soon as I park, I got to get out because I'm with somebody else who's in front of me. So everyone be safe, enjoy, and we'll catch you in a bit. W-A-F-U, Donald.
Okay, thanks for the explanation. I'm getting ready for physical therapy. Have a great day. Be safe on the road. W-A-R-C-Y. Tom, you do the same.
On the road again. KKKKO.
W8 Vicious Dog from W8 Fancy Underpants.
W8 Fancy Underpants from November 8th. Normally menstrual.
What's up?
Oh, I just heard you calling somebody a few minutes ago. Just farting around. What are you up to?
dispatch configs. Just got done. Heading back to the shop. Probably get some lunch here in a little bit, and then head down to my part of town to the backup center. Do a little bit of dispatch config work. Ah, muy bueno. Alright, well, what was it? Oh, I know his name. Mike McCarty. He retired, I think, before I did, or right around the same time, maybe, but he was pretty cool. Yes, he was. That's where he's working. Not Harris. Nope. He's down in the big city. Zone 7, working with Bush and the boys. Yeah, he's working for Detroit out of the West Side shop there. And guy Todd took over for him. I've been working with him all this week. He's a real good guy, too. Yeah, cool. Good for him. He was always fun to work with. Good sense of humor. Some of those guys, I mean, they're all tremendous human beings, but some are just funnier than others. Yeah, Mike was next level. Todd is a wonderful guy, but not nearly as jovial as Mike. So, yeah, Mike's down in Detroit. And doing all that good stuff, so very cool. Working out of a Linden shop. All right, anyhow, I just pulled up here at the shop. I get inside, check on a few things, this, that, and the other, and then be hanging here. I think Wally's coming in the area to maybe do lunch. And then I got to get down to Warren and kind of duplicate some of the work I did up here. Well, a little bit of it, anyhow. So, I will catch you in a bit when I'm back mobile. W8, fantastic unicorn.
Alrighty then. Hey, I'm out in the garage and I'm debating whether I want to get dirty because I only got clean like an hour ago. And it's kind of nice temperature-wise out here right now. It'd be a good time to do it, but I'm kind of feeling lazy, so I don't know. We'll work it out. Catch you later. November 8, not missing.
Hey, whatever you do, do it with style. W8FU.
Echo 3, Charlie, again, testing. KE8, VSI Mobile.
What up, Greg?
Not a lot, just heading out to help a buddy hang a TV. And enjoying the weather, it's beautiful out, and that's all I got. What about you?
The meeting this morning, that went well. Had to do a couple things for work, that went well. Taking the doggy home, and I'm thinking about having lunch with Sean, but I haven't heard on him. I tried calling him on digital, and maybe here. Sean, you over here.
I've been listening here and there, and I've been calling you, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I might have lost you, because when Greg threw his call out, it might have jumped over there. So, you got time today? You said you were unsure, And I'm in Baltimore. I'm almost home. I'm going to drop the doggy off and see if you wanted to grab something somewhere.
Yeah, I'll wire you. Well, yeah, well, name the spot. Just name the spot. I don't care where. Be up that way, down this way. I do, as soon as we're done, though, I gotta go south. So just bear that in mind. But, yeah, name the spot.
How about Culver's? That sounds unique. Do you like a Culver's right there by the Hall Road and I-94 area?
I'm sure I can find something.
Okay, I'll meet you at Culver's right around noon.
Okay. If you can think of anything better, I'd be game for that too. But let me know. All right.
If you want to go up one more exit, Sugarbush. Sugarbush Tavern.
Something more like that, sure. All right, give me a minute. Let me think.
Okay, very good. You over this way, Greg?
No, Sugarbush actually sounds good, but I'm heading the opposite way, so we'll do it next time.
Okay, very good. All right, I'll be back here. In a little minute, I gotta go take Dougie in. Every evening.
KEVFI.
I am back. And mobile in it. WG.
KEVFI.
Wall, are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm having a hell of a time getting out the door. It'll be shortly.
Okay, no worries.
WATAP. How you doing up there, sir? KCKO.
I'm doing okay. Figured I'd blow the dust off the mobile here and get out here. Just still chilling out. Still 5 weeks since my surgery, and everything's going okay. Weaned myself off the any pain meds. I don't take any pain meds, not even Motrin or Tylenol or anything. So, the biggest issue is still staying asleep at night. That's getting better too, so. All in all, everything's going good. Been up north one time last weekend. My girlfriend drove me up to the cottage. Haven't been up there in 6 weeks. Just kind of relaxed up there like I do here. Other than that, that's about it. Just recuperating.
Well, you had new surgery, right?
No. Maybe someday. No, hip replacement.
Oh, you'll be tap dancing across the stage soon.
Yeah, they say that most of the pain and swelling and muscle tightness, all that crap, goes away like 6 to 8 weeks, and I'm at 5 weeks now, and it's probably 75% gone. So I'd say the next week or two. But they just want me to take it easy for a couple months
know, I could ride a bicycle, just mellow, not for long distances, not like up and down hills or anything, just on a flat surface, just a nice relaxing pace. So that's my next goal, I guess, is to actually ride a bicycle. I do have one of those stationary bikes in the front room. I should take a spin on that today, see how things go. But, yep, they said, doctor said no restrictions. So after the three-month part, you know, there's no restrictions. Not like the old hip replacements, so you had to, like, be careful for the rest of your life. But pretty much, you know, everything I've used to do, I can still do. After the 3 month, you know, that's when it really heals up.
Did you get titanium or did you get a cadaver?
WAGAZKSADIC.
Hey, Jack, I hear you in there, a little bit scratchy. I'll get back with you in a second. No, it's the titanium one, titanium total replacement. We had a little bit of a, my hip was in such bad shape, it was starting to, it was damaged, and I think it got damaged in a car or motorcycle wreck years ago. So they had a really hard time getting my ball out of the socket there. That's another long story I won't get into here, but no, titanium. It's got a 60-year warranty, so I'm good to 123.
I'll at least get more mileage out of your titanium hip than I'm getting out of my titanium neck. I think they told me 20 or 25.
Roger. Go ahead, Jack. How you doing, Jack? Where are you? That was my imagination. Tom, was that? I could have sworn I heard Jack out there. He was a little scratchy.
Heard him too. I was going to say, hello, Jack. KRC. Or is it KRC? KFA-KRC. Detroit Rock. Where are you? Good. Eats a lot of pizza and Cujo out here. KRC-KJO. Well, we'll see if he pops back in there. We'll give pauses in there. He's probably end up using his ATV at home. But he got my coworker who's driving behind me. He had, a rod and screws put in his left leg. He was off for 6 months because of the damage.
WAEABKFA-DIC.
There you are, Jack. What radio are you talking on there? Are you on your 9600 now? Or the All-Star?
I'm in the truck. I was on Romeo. That's probably why. I just wish to warn.
Yep. One thing I noticed last night, I was on my HT. Went for a little walk up and down my street. And I had my HT with me, and I was getting into the, for some reason last night, I was getting into the Richmond machine, like full quieting, and about twice as strong as the Romeo. So I don't know if it was a band opening, or the Romeo machine seems to be getting weaker and weaker. Just seems to be deteriorating, unless it's something in between. Maybe there's some new building or structure that's blocking, but I noticed the Romeo has been really weak lately, and the Richmond has been, like, twice as strong, which used to be the other way around.
It's been like that, and the Richmond, I always hit it from the house. I don't know if I'm out in the car, but the Richmond's always strong, and you can hit it anywhere you want. Richmond. But Romeo, no. Romeo is a little bit, you know, it's changed. That's what Sean said, so.
Good night,
Tom. We're in on your radios, 442-175. I usually hit that one in the Washington, Romeo area. Dakota, I got switched over last night, and he made some real good signal on that.
Whoops, I might have doubled with you. Yeah, I was saying that the Romeo is pretty much there for Dakota. But if you're talking about KC8LTS, Detroit, 442-175, yeah, I haven't tried, like, up north, I mean, like, in Romeo area, but around here, it's like, full strength, like, Pagola.
Jack, do you have the LTS repeater in your radio there in the truck?
Is that me you're talking to?
You're the only Jack I know that's called Detroit Rock City.
I know, I don't have no repeater, but I'm on the DB20.
No. What I was asking is, do you have that frequency programmed into your radio? It's 442.175. With a PL of 123, that's on the MI1 network also, and that's the tower in Detroit, and you can hit it from Romeo, Washington area there on Van Dyke.
I did change it to 123, and every time I go to a phone, feel like I hit it easy from there. Actually, I hit it from almost all over, but I have not been in Romeo to hit it from there. But it sounds always good.
Well, I'm the official programmer of Jack's radios, and the DB20G is now chirp compatible, so I can finally put a lot more frequencies in your radio, Jack, and put them in proper order. So next week or two, we'll get together, and I'll redo your DB20 with all updated frequencies. Before, it was a royal pain in the ass to program frequencies in it. Now, like I said, I have a chirp file with everything in it. So, yeah, we'll have to update your DB20G. I think you have two of them, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got two of them. And, you know, I changed that the 9600 to 123, and it's working. But this one here, every time you change it, it doesn't change.
Well, you got to save it. And I forget, I never programmed it through the keypad. But if you program a frequency into the VFO, okay, so, no, that wouldn't work with a repeater, never mind. But you entered in, and you have to save it. Otherwise, it'll just work until you change channel. Once you change channels, it'll go right back. So read the manual. I'm not sure what that is, what that final step. There's a final step you have to do to save it. I don't know what that is, but, yeah, that's your problem. But like I said, we'll do your radios one at a time so you won't be without a radio, and I'll put all the latest stuff in it.
Problem, just take it, you know, whenever you feel good, 100% and all that, I don't mind. You know that. Roger.
Yep, I know I haven't seen you in a while, but I'm thinking in the next couple of weeks I'm going to be able to drive again and start, you know, going places, limited short trips, you know.
Go ahead, the other station. I forgot the name.
Oh, no. Jack, you said Roger. I'm like, that's not Roger, that's Eric, W-A-D-A-P. And this is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. I'm on here a lot because I like to chatter.
number, Tom. Yeah, you're right. Well, good talking to you, Tom.
Hey, Jack, your buddy in Ohio was looking for you, man. There was a band opening last night. He was booming in like perfect, the guy, your buddy from Ohio. I'm really surprised you weren't out there. That was, I don't know, maybe 10:30, maybe 11, some 10:30.
I don't know about 10:30, but I was out there at 10 to give him a shout. He wasn't out there, so then I got in on the, because you know what I was doing yesterday? I had to put that vertical back. And it was hell to put that back, too, that vertical. See, because I had a vertical 10, 20, 40, and 80 meter. So I put it back by myself. Took the old one out and put a new one there. But now it's working. Everything is works good for the HF. Roger.
Yep. Yep. You must have just missed him then.
I talked to him a day ago. He usually don't get in until next day after, but I don't know how he wanted to yesterday. I guess because he's seen that vertical. And that vertical was hard to put in, too. It was not easy when you're by yourself.
84 is GYQ.
84 is UIQ, KCKJO. What's going on, Joe?
Well, I wanted to say hello to everybody, but a special hello for that KF8DRC, Mr. Jack, that I know from here and other places radio-wise. Just wanted to step in briefly and say howdy. What do you say, Jack?
Well, hello, Joe. How you doing? Long time no talk. But I'm almost on my destination, so we'll talk again, Joe and Eric and Tom. You guys have a good day. I'm almost there on the destination. So we'll talk later. KF8DRC.
7-3 there, Jack, and the other guys on frequency there. Thanks for letting me jump in. Say hello to every one of you, but like I said, a special hello to Jack. I always got to make sure that people that know me or think they know me, they're telling me all the time, you don't know Jack. And I thought, no, I know Jack. Hi, hi. 73 KE4ZYQ. 73
Joe, I'll see you at next Thursday's ARP meeting. KKKJO, Eric. I'm going to say 73 to you too, because I just pulled into my destination. I'm going to keep my stay and go in and take care of some stuff. KKKJ, I'll talk to everybody on the flip.
Catch you later, Tom. I'm going to back out here and get some lunch too in a minute. So, Jack, talk to you later. Whoever other gentleman is out there, I didn't recognize him. 73's W8EAP.
Oh, Jack. Goodbye, Jack, WDAKLO.
WDAKLL, KFADIC.
Hello, Jack. You can probably hear me a little bit better. I was only on 5 watts hitting the Holly repeater. Hopefully you can hear me a little bit better now. I understand you're your destination. I just wanted to say hello and we'll chat later.
The daughter called me and says you gotta come cut the grass because nobody cut it. So I'm here. I gotta cut the grass. So that's why I'm on my destination. Good talking to you, Greg. We'll talk again. So I'm gonna be a little bit busy here. KFADIC.
Okay, my friend, take her easy. Take breaks and drink water.
Calculator, WSDH922. That's my other side call, WDHKLL. Clear.
AVAPR. Both very good repeaters. The 7.2 is an MTR, and it works pretty darn well, too.
Yeah, just a side note on 7.2. I forgot where I was at, but I was able to keep the repeater a little bit further west. I can't remember what was that, but I think I was off of 275 somewhere. I bounce on that one, too, and see how it does.
Yeah, I'm a little perplexed by that Warren receiver. It doesn't get voted very often. You know, even people that you think absolutely have to vote that one. So that's got me a little confused. I know the antenna needs a little work, but just kind of confusing. Oh, well. Projects for other days.
As long as I can get into the VHF with a limp noodle as an antenna, I'm a happy camper. And between your two TJs and Phil's, I do pretty good traveling throughout the tri-county or five-county area.
Yeah, well, TJ's was missed. It's been offline for a long time. And with him getting relocated to the west part of the state, you know, he just, you know, in the past when he was here, you know, something went wrong, usually within, you know, pretty short order he'd have it up and running. But with him being over on the west side of the state, not nearly as convenient.
and he doesn't have anybody back here that can do a lot of the stuff for him. So
well, I'm glad that he came back to visit for a short period of time and got it back up. It's extremely beneficial to have that one there. And I think Wally programmed it into my XPR, so I'm good there if I'm traveling, and that way I can run three radios. KCKJO.
Yep, there you go. And, you know, Wally and I just had lunch, but his day has been blowing up and going sideways on him, so I'm sure he's catching up. But, I think a lot about the topography now with TJ's machine back online. And I think about the lay of the land. Have to sit down and think about how everything is best utilized.
Well, I got that. I said my drill through Romeo was kind of iffy. It's like you have to be almost right in line with it, close to it, before it gives a good response back. A lamp at 32 in Rochester, it's sketchy.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that brings to the table. I've been thinking about that one with different ways to retask it, relocate it, repurpose it, something. Because it feels like it's got a very, very, very minuscule useful area. You know, the Richmond works so well up that way, and where it stops working, Warren generally picks up. You know, it's not like it's filling the gap, which was supposed to be the case, but so I think about moving it, changing it, recasting it, I don't know. All part of that, looking at everything and figuring out how everything would be best purposed.
Comment?
Yeah.
There's a repeater that hardly ever gets used on the other band, Telegraph and the 96 Jeffries Freeway out there. You could probably take that one down, nobody would miss it, and you could repurpose it, reconfigure it, and use it somewhere else where it might be more needed.
No network at that site, so it would be standalone no matter what, unless we get that part of the puzzle fixed.
I'm talking about the 600 on the other network. Yeah, but I mean, it's not getting used like we thought it would, and, you know, we tested it as a test site to see how the reach was. I figured, well, if you take it down and, I don't know, what is all involved in reconfiguring it for amateur use or something else, but I just think it could be utilized better somewhere else in a place of need where the need would be more valuable. That's just my two cents. I'm eating a chicken Caesar salad for lunch. I'll go back to that.
Right, and as I said, there's no network at that site, so whatever goes there is standalone, so I don't know how it would contribute to anything. It's standalone now, and no matter where we put it, it would remain standalone. That's all I'm saying. So it doesn't really serve, you know, like as a... position. It's going to always be a standalone type thing, no matter where it's configured. So that's all I was saying.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. I'm just trying to, like, find equipment, find sites, things. All right. I'll go back and eat lunch. Gentlemen, have a good afternoon. W8RCY.
What about moving Romeo a little bit further west? Is there something out that way as a possibility?
done by orders of magnitude. You start to get into a pretty precarious topography west of there. And, so, yeah, that would be great, but much easier than that.
Oh, I get it, because I thought that's where 47180 is out of, is a little bit more west, a little bit higher up in that general direction from what I remember years back.
You mean the Yuseeka VHF machine? That's like in a direct line with it, but south about, I don't know, 5-6 miles. So it's no further west than further south. And that site has been notoriously a stinker for them since they moved there. There's something wrong with that site. It's got cooties.
Okay, we don't want to play in that sandbox then.
Well, it's not an option, you know, just because there doesn't mean that's any option for it. But even if there were, you know, I wouldn't be pursuing it. Just doesn't solve anything. So, but anyhow, whatever. This is just all idle talk. What else is new and exciting?
Oh, just running around like I normally do. I think I was in Westland, and now where am I at now? Oh, I'm back in Troy. So, New Troy's and Orchard Lake, and then from here I gotta go to Sterling or to Madison Heights, and then I think I'm done for the day.
Well, miles out, about 5 minutes or so out from my next stop. I got a little work to do there. Hopefully, you know, some of the work I did over the last 2 days at my other location, this location, and run a couple of tests, and that ought to put me end of the day a couple miles from home. So how do you beat that?
And by the time you get to your location, I'll be 2 miles or a couple miles north of your location. The next one's around Stevenson and Maple.
Oh, there you go. You can go to Polish Pit when you're done. A couple miles over to the east. Or you could drop down a mile and go a mile over to the Mia's Bakery. Get yourself an outstanding cappuccino and a delightful bakery good.
Oh, I'm tempted, but I've been doing pretty good on my diet, so I'm trying to stick with it. I had yesterday, I had eggs Benedict with grilled tomatoes and crushed bacon, and that was really good.
Sounds good. I just had a, you know, a lot of places do the half soup, the half sandwich and soup deal for lunch. That sounded good, and we went to this little place for it. The engine house or the firehouse? Anyhow, that sounded good. It was very good. The half turkey sandwich I got was very good. Soup was great. Perfect. Moving in the right direction myself as far as that goes. I gotta get some pounds off. But, get hard, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm still tempted for donuts, but I try to steer away from them. I had one the other day. I had an apple cider donut with cinnamon and sugar on it. My wife bought me 3. I ate 1. So I'm being a good boy, staying under 180 and above 170, so right in that 10-pound mark.
There you go. And I got to get down at 195 right now. My height, that's bad. Looking right on the fat, obese cusp, according to the records. I know it's kind of ridiculous, but I want to be about 160-ish. That's really good for me. I control really good at 160. I was running a lot and biking a lot, doing all sorts of stuff. Felt better than ever at 160. And so that's my goal. So that's 30 pounds, man. That's a third of a person.
Yeah, well, I think what helped it out is the serotonin pill that I'm on, and the Lipitor, and the blood pressure medication. So it kept me from stress eating, and now I'm kind of mellowed out. And I have arrived at my location, so 73 on your final, because you should be pulling up in the runway very shortly also.
Yes, sir, I got eyes on, so I'm a minute or two away from destination. Catch you later. W8FE.
Good job. On the road again.
All right.
I might revisit that, but there sure is a lot going on in UHF, especially if you get a little bit, or VHF, especially if you get a little bit south of here. I was kind of surprised, you know, how much goes on that. And then, you know, the ARPSC thing that I belong to, that's also VHF, so, or just get on lazy and put them all in my trunk and make it look pretty and call it good.
Yeah, well, I've got the other radio, my ICOM, for VHF, UHF stuff, so. Anyways, I'm hoping to put my Kenwood in the car this weekend. The car's in service right now, so I'm just waiting. Hopefully, I'll have it back to me by tomorrow.
Well, that'd be nice. So, I ordered a TP1 just to play with and see if it's programmable or how complicated it is, or, you know, usually if you understand one software, you understand them all, so, but we shall see. I don't know, I'm radio poor right now, and I got lots and lots and lots of them. I fell in love with the XDR, then I fell in love with the XTL, then I fell in love with the XTS, so I gotta quit falling in love with radios.
Yeah, I don't know what the GP1 is. Please explain that. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my radio here. I'm on the, you know, the handheld, the 2500, and my IQ, I'm getting a double chirp. I don't know what that's all about.
I think it means something's broken. Are you on your own personal repeater?
Yeah, this is coming from the radio. It might be the battery, but it shows the battery's full, so I don't know what that is.
You got the OEM battery or you got aftermarket battery? Because the battery thingy doesn't work right on the Motorola radios if it's not the OEM battery, the Impress technology, I guess is what they call it.
Yeah, this is an Impress Motorola battery, with the reads the smart, it's a smart battery, but I think it's too smart for its own good.
It could be. And there's also another set they told me about,
encryption.
Early warning.
Encryption.
Maybe you want to make sure that early warning, I think TJ said something about make sure that the early warning thing isn't turned on. He said that'll drive you crazy, you know, when next time you're looking at your code plug, check it out that way as well. WABD, just in case somebody doesn't know who I help.
Yeah, I think it might be that. I think I do have it turned on. There's somebody else in there, so the volume was kind of low, because I couldn't quite make you out. Try again, ABAPR.
Volume's low, probably because somebody is keying up with me. You guys don't leave enough gap in between your key ups. The double beep means you got your encryption turned off.
Well, it should be. We don't use encryption.
I got to turn the notice off or. Forget. Go in there and take the encryption out of that personality or that zone or something, I forget. That's what the double mean beep means, you got your encryption turned off. KBSWR.
Oh, okay. Hi, Jeff. Yeah, but I don't think this radio even, I don't even know if it has encryption. All right, I'll tell you. But only, I'm only getting it when I'm keying down more than a few seconds. Like, if I just make a real short transmission, I'm not getting it. So I think it's the battery. I think it's thinking the battery. I'm getting that early warning on the battery. Oh, yeah, actually, now that it's transmitting, it's flashing.
I guess what the chirp sounds like, so. You said, anyways. Yep, all right. I gotta go. Keep it up there.
All right, and I'm just about where I'm going. Catch you later, Wally. Let's see Saturday if you're going to be there. ABPR.
I am going to try. I made some promises with the War Department, and so still trying to off a house. Collectively, we own two of them. So I made some moving promises. Talk to you later. WABD. See you later, Jeff.
This is VA3, KSF listening.
W4XCT, this is W3LNF.
W3LNF, W4XCT, just left work about 5 minutes ago.
I'm still around 26 Mile Road heading home.
Okay, well, so that the radio is working good today, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I thought I'd try it out and see if it's acting funny or if it's working, but it sounds like it's working pretty good.
Copy that. I still want to run the power line directly to the battery, though, eventually. Just going to have to wait until I have a weekend where I have some time.
Obviously, it's not going to be this weekend with the Yagi workshop.
Is that right? Okay, well, I'll see you when you get home. 88, W3LNS, W4XCD, I'll be listening.
Okay, whoever gets home first has to grab the mail. 88, WLNS, signing out.
All righty then. WBAPR. You up to 50% yet?
I wish, but no.
Man, hoping somehow that one guy would, since it looks like his second choice is 100% his, if he doesn't get, so he's got his second choice no matter what the outcome. So why don't they just say, well, he's covered then? I know.
Yeah, hold on, phone call. Damn robocalls. So, yeah, I keep checking every day. A bunch more people have applied for it since, you know, which is crazy, you know, that they would use, like, some from the 7th and 8th, I think, have applied for it.
Yeah, it's a waste of time. I'm just guessing there are people that don't understand the process. There's no chance of anyone that didn't apply for it on the 3rd of getting it. So they're all just wasting their time. And it'll say, you know, too late or something like that. You see if you look at some of those guys, it's like one guy, he's got like 12 choices, and he's not eligible, like, you know, not eligible, wrong license class, not eligible, you know, it's like every one of them, it's like, don't you read the rules? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, I saw that too. People aren't even eligible. Well, what's wrong with these people?
You know, they run out and get their $5 Bofang and their online, all the questions and answer tests, and, you know, and they expect them to understand the idiosyncrasies of licensing. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's asking too much. It's like the guy I heard on the air once saying, don't know, is it just me, or is the sun like seem like it's in a different position in the sky than it was a month ago at this time?
Come on, you didn't hear that.
I swear to God, I heard that. It was, I think it was on an Echolink, or, no, it was on an IRLP, what do you call them, node or group, and the guy was up in Alaska.
There you go. Oh, well. No, I just, they don't bother to read what the rules are, you know, and some people are like repeat offenders. They're like doing this, you know, over and over. It's like they don't learn. You know, are you curious why you're not eligible? Are you curious why that, you know, you were too early or too late? I got it too early. I admit that. And that was my own, I knew it, but I was just doing it, hedging a bet, knowing that it wouldn't hurt me at all. The only thing I did wrong is I paid, and had I been smart, I wouldn't have paid. They would have denied it based on too early, and it would have just died on the vine. But idiot me, I paid.
Yeah, well, I paid too, and I think it shows that I paid.
Oh, in your case, you have no choice. I mean, you know, you got a 33% chance of getting, you know, the ultimate call for you. And, you know, there's just, you know, ante up, man, and cross your fingers. That's all you can do.
Yeah, I just got to wait for that three-sided coin to fall in my favor.
I don't know if you're aware or not, but you will have another shot next year.
Yeah, for one of the other ones. Well, which one was it? Was it the NH or the K?
I can't recall. I think it was K.
Yeah, I noticed that too. But, whatever. Anyways, just right around my pick-me-up truck here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I'm just getting home, just pulling in. I finished up the day only a couple miles from home, so I'm a little ahead of schedule. We've got family in, but I don't think we're doing anything about it. Tomorrow we are. I'm taking tomorrow off because I was busy all week, worked a lot over. So instead of collecting overtime, I'm just going to flex and take Friday off. So I'm off tomorrow. We have some obligations later in the day, but, you know, breakfast, morning could be available. Just FYI.
Yeah, I'm going to work tomorrow too. I'm trying to just help her string out her inventory control system, and they got a deadline. They got to make a decision by in a couple three weeks. So, got to really press on that.
What do you mean decision? What direction they want to go, or something?
They've got their subscription to their accounting program is coming due, and they need to decide whether they need to upgrade to a different version to fix some of the problems they have trying to do things. And I think the new version may help them do that. So we've got some trial versions, and we're playing around with them.
Roger, gotcha. Okay. All right, I just pulled in the driveway and parked. I'm going to collect up my stuff, get inside, get comfortable, and probably jump back out here. So, I don't know.
I'll see what my schedule looks like. Stop in and see you guys or something. I doubt it. We got family obligations tomorrow. All right. After yours, W8FU.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping to get my car back tomorrow. So I want to be planning on doing the Kenwood install Saturday afternoon or Sunday. So if I don't have my car back, though, I won't be able to do that. So, catch you later. ABAPR.
K-E-8-R-U-H. Put away or something like that. You got
a Golf that was, you know, half the stuff or whatever. It's just kind of aggravating that this is good stuff, but can't really give it away being half together or, you know, whatever. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I got stuff up in the attic still. My daughter's got stuffed animals in there. We got Beanie Babies, I think, still from when the kids are small. And what's that other thing? Oh, I can see it. It's that scary thing that looks like a gremlin, like a mugwai, you know. But I can't think, but it said it goes, dance, dance. That thing's around somewhere.
Furby? Tamagotchi, I think I may have had like one or two Beanie Babies, but not really. Kind of wasn't really into the fad things.
My kids weren't too much. I think it was my daughter's Furby. I just remember that thing talking in the middle of the night. I'm like, okay, we're done with this thing. I took the batteries out of it. It's somewhere in storage or in a box, but I ain't bringing it back out.
We've had a few toys that, you know, the batteries mysteriously died on it. I don't know. we got one of those cars from the movie, the Cars movie that... Every time you bump it, it makes, you know, plays the lines in the movie. Moving the box, all of a sudden the box starts talking. You're like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, no, I'm not playing that game.
Yep, yeah. I know the musical toys, they somehow get their batteries dead.
Oh, I think those out of there. Nope. I got my Wii somewhere, and I think I forgot to take the batteries out of the remote, so God only knows what that thing looks like after 8 years.
Maybe, I have the Wii, but all the Wiimotes got turned into toys somehow, so they don't really, I question if they even work.
My daughter wants to clean her. She's got a PS4. It's been sitting in her room. She hasn't messed with that thing for, I think, almost a year. She bought it when she was doing gaming with her boyfriend or whatever else, but now she's into books. So she has 195 books, and that's all she does is read.
WARCY, some of this stuff may be of value. I have a Hot Wheels set, from like 50 years ago, and I don't even think I was in my double digits yet. It could be 60 years ago, and I put it up on a garage sale, and I got like $500 for it just because it was in great shape. It was in the original box. And it just sat dormant in my parents' attic for, you know, 100 years or whatever the number was. And, yeah, there's a lot of valuable stuff if you've kept it around and it's in good shape and some of it's in the original box. So, you know, just don't be in such a hurry to throw it out. WARCY.
I'm not sure who won.
I apologize. Maybe I should just sit break or something.
I was just saying, Lance, that some of this stuff may be of value because I have a Hot Wheel set, or had a Hot Wheel set from when I was in my, getting out of my single digits. That was 60 years ago, and I put it up in a garage sale. I got, you know, quite a few $100 for it. So it was in great shape, original box. You know, batteries were taken out of it, so they didn't rot inside the stuff. So some of this stuff that you have from your childhood or your children's childhood might be of value, so don't be in such a hurry to angst it and write it off or toss it.
Yeah, I mean, I know I have good stuff still. I've got my PS2 and N64 and stuff, but the kid's stuff is kind of a mess. I don't know what we have and what's even together and enough to be something.
My oldest daughter, who lives in Vegas, has my original Pong game that was just a black and white tennis game, and it just went beep, 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 boop. You know, and that was it. The most boringest thing in the world. She still has it, and she still gets a kick out of playing it. Mind you, she's now 43. But that thing is worth money, and she's been offered money for it, and she goes, nope, this is my father's, and I kind of inherited it, and I won't give it up. I know she's had some pretty good offers for it. And my original Atari game as well, Space Invaders and another game on it that I remember. I think I only had about 6 cartridges for it. And she still likes playing that old school stuff from her father's era. Called Pong.
Yeah, we have the original 2600 also. Or my wife does. It's in a box somewhere in my mother-in-law's basement. But yeah, we got that. And I got the Wii. I think that's about it. Oh, wait. I think I might have a Nintendo 360 or something like that.
Yeah, we have a Atari 2600 at our cottage that I don't know if we still have. My dad moved out of that. I don't know if he kept that or got rid of it. I hope he kept it. I'd like to have that someday. My brother had the original NES, so I think he has that. Yeah, all the classics.
The original Atari Pac-Man. Ding, 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 ding. KKKJO.
All right, I'm going to tap out. WARCY, I just wanted to put in my comments about some of the value in some of these older game systems or toys or things like Hot Wheels. I don't even know what happened to it. I used to have slot cars in the 60s, 1/24 scale slot cars, and I saw one of on a thing about slot cars on YouTube once. Somebody had a 1960s slot car era vehicle, and if you still had the original from the 60s, that thing would be worth thousands of dollars, and I only remember paying like maybe $35 for it that my parents got me when I was a kid. So, I mean, there's stuff out there, and if you've kept it and you've kept it in good shape, and yeah, it's got some value to it for those who are looking, that's for sure. All right, I'm out. W8RCY. Have a good afternoon, everybody.
84ZYQ.
Go ahead.
Guys are talking about electronic games, I think, only. I have a game in the original box, original parts. It's an outdoor game. You cannot buy anymore because of danger. And you cannot mail it, even if you had it, to mail it to somebody. It's illegal to mail it somewhere. Called Jarts.
Is that the lawn darts?
They sell that. People talk about living in dangerous times. I remember playing that game with adults at picnic, at a family picnic in the yard.
just have to warn everybody, do not go in this zone of the yard.
Yeah, yeah, the time before warning labels and everything.
N9DOS.
I love when I open up a box of, or a can of worms. KKKGO, go ahead, that's a call. I'll be right back, Lance and Joe. I'm going to make a phone call.
Go ahead, Lance. Noah that jumped in there. You got a lot of noise. Hard to understand there.
Yep. Need more power, better antenna, or better location. Not making it.
Lance, you remember that old yard game?
I believe it was outlawed before my time, but I believe my parents had it, like at our cottage there. It was kind of one of those, what's that over there? Oh, yeah, that's a lawn darts game. We don't play that anymore.
KE4Z, like you, yeah, it's got the big metal points on them and the pins, and you just hold it by the back end and toss that sucker up in the air at a distance of, oh, I can't remember how far apart they were, maybe 25 to 30 feet apart, something like that. Then you stood there waiting for the person to throw it and jab it in the ground and hope to hit the circle. Just if the guy was new at it, you had to stand a little farther back from your circle by you.
They actually kind of like remade the game with like little plastic lawn darts that they don't spear you, but I think we had at some point.
Well, you know, the old game horseshoes wasn't much safer, although, you know, you're throwing a heavy metal horseshoe one at a time at a stake in the ground and hope nobody runs by. You know, that was not as dangerous maybe, but it wasn't real safe either.
Yeah, I think that's a bit safer, but of course, you know, most of the time people are drinking when they're playing horseshoes too, so. That only makes things worse.
Well, to give you an idea how old I am, that's where the saying came in after horseshoes and other things where they said, close is only in horseshoes and hand grenades. There you go.
Yep, I heard that one. I was never good at horseshoes, so I didn't really play it that much, but My one uncle, he had a pit in his backyard. He lived up north, and he would play it all the time. And every time we were up there, they'd be playing it. They'd go camping, and they'd take his pit with them, and they'd be playing all the whole time.
That KE4ZYQ, I was a thrower of horseshoes where it would flop end over end and then try to get it where it ends up in the open. The open end ends up when it gets back to the other stake. Some people are sidewinders, you know, where it rotates sideways and helps to open up.
Yeah, I'm the one that, you know, throws it 20 feet short and then 10 feet long. And I don't have the consistency to hit it on the spike, you know. It'll be, you know, 6 feet to the left. 12 feet to the right.
Yeah. Well, people inevitably hit the stake on top, and you hear that ring like a bell almost, and it would be rolling through the yard. And when you heard the word, watch out, everybody watch for their ankles, make sure they didn't get hit, clipped in the leg or ankle or foot by a rolling horseshoe.
Yeah, I can imagine I'm not feeling too comfy. Hit my ankles a few times with the RC cars.
That ain't nothing. Try getting stepped on by a horse 3 or 4 times.
Frisbee. People used to have games like that. They got one of them out at Stony Creek, I think, called Long, what do they call that? Something where you throw the Frisbee into a chain that catches it in a basket.
Yeah, it's disc golf. I actually played that before. I had, had a course at, where I went to college. So I
I was going to say the same thing, disc golf. You know, my daughter plays that with her boyfriend, too, over the summer.
Yeah, somebody somewhere, I think, holds a record for how far they can throw a Frisbee, a disc, or something. It was almost, I think, the same length or more of a football field, I think.
I'd probably guess more. You can throw those things pretty far. Even with my lack of athletic ability.
I can't toss nothing.
Answers in there. I'm not sure who said I can't toss nothing. I have to laugh not to make fun of anybody, but when people say, what you doing? I'm not doing nothing. Because technically what they're saying is they are doing something, because if they're not doing nothing, that means they're doing something, aren't they? I don't know. I'm just very inquisitive.
Oh, no, you're right, Joe.
There's a lot of people that...
Yeah, I tried playing disc golf. Not
double
very good at it. I suck at sports.
You guys almost perfectly doubled, and I heard you both at the same time. Man, good thing I had 2 ears.
No, I said, I just got to where I need to go here in Warren. Lance, have a good, safe trip home north there. Joe, like I said, I'll see you next Thursday. 73 you both. Kilo Charlie, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
73
is the Steve, I think you're thinking of somebody else if it's at a meeting of a club, because I'm a different Joe. There's another Joe from Hazel Park. But 7-3 to both of you. I'm going to get up and do something I need to do, so just had the radio on and couldn't help but talk about antique games, yard or otherwise. 7-3, KE4ZYQ, have a good one.
This is a 9 dealer.
N8BBF.
The 9 DOA, good evening.
Good evening, how are we doing?
Yeah, it's doing all right. Just sitting here at home in the rocking chair.
I'm jealous because that's where I'm trying to get to right about now.
Okay, well, trying to get there. Hopefully you'll get there soon.
Drop drive shouldn't be too bad. It says 37 minutes, so I just pulled out of the office. We'll see how long it actually takes. One more time, was that N9DO?
Yeah, dead on arrival. N9 dead on arrival. Okay, I see. You're just leaving work, so yeah, you'll be a little bit, won't you?
All right, we've got NADBF Dakota here, and yeah, I'll be a little bit. Plenty of time to listen to the radio and hopefully decompress and unwind a little bit.
There you go. Name here is Eric.
I don't know if we've talked or not, Eric. Where are you from?
I'm in Ypsilanti. I want to say that this is the first time I've been on this repeater, but I'm not real sure.
That makes sense then, yeah. I don't recognize the call, but good to meet you. Which repeater are you coming in on?
What was that?
Which repeater are you coming in on?
Oh, I'm coming in on the 442.175, which I noticed I had in my truck, but I don't think I've ever talked on it before, so I just programmed it into the radio here at the house.
I did the same exact thing yesterday when I was informed about it. Things got some unbelievable range.
Yeah, where's it at? I'm over here in Ypsilanti, right off of Rossinville Road, basically.
I used to go down there all the time and work at Fox Auto Parts. I believe it's in Detroit. I don't know where exactly, but I was told it's in Detroit.
Okay, so it's northeast of me then. Gotcha. Yeah, I'm just south of Willow Run Airport.
Okay, yeah, I'm not too familiar with down there, but I've been to been off of Rossinville a handful of times, and I've been to Sumter a handful of times.
Now, okay. What was that place that you said, Fox something?
It was Fox Auto Parts about 2 years ago, maybe a little less, and then they sold, and now it's Phoenix Auto Parts.
Where's that at?
Oh, that's a good question. I know I would take 94 to the Rossinville Road exit, and then I would head west, so it's about as much help as I can be.
Okay, what did you say it was again? Phoenix something?
Phoenix Auto Parts, I think it's with an F, F-E-N-I-X.
Okay, let me see here. Oh, no, here we go, Phoenix Automotive. Let's see here. Well, there is a Phoenix, a F-E-N-I-X, but there's been a Phoenix as in Phoenix, Arizona. Where the heck it is.
It's at 8111 Rossinville Road, Belleville, Michigan.
Okay, the one that came up for me is clear over in, like, Detroit. You say 8111?
Yes, sir, 8111.
Belleville. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's that junkyard, isn't it?
That's correct. I've done a lot of work there. We did security cameras and point-to-point access and Wi-Fi, you name it. And it was never clean when I was working there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, right there at that intersection at Bemis. If you're coming from 94, you would turn right onto Bemis and go down about a mile and a half, and that's where I'm at.
So you're not too far then. Like I said, I was down there, that was pretty much the only time I've ever been down there was for work.
Okay. Yeah, they're right there at the stoplight. Yeah, I'm not far from that at all. You say this is up somewhere around Detroit, huh? It's doing pretty good.
That was really good. I don't know how familiar you are with the east side, or northeast side, I should say. I live up by 69 and M53, and I'm able to work that repeater from there.
Well, I've lived here for 8 years. Basically, go to work, home, work, home, work, home. I know a few places, but not familiar with too many of them.
I know how that goes. I feel like that's my life. I get up, go to work, leave work, go home, rinse and repeat.
Roger that. Yeah, well, anyway, I was on my way home and I heard this repeater in my radio, which in the car had programmed in, and not sure I've ever heard anybody on it, but I did tonight. Tried to get a hold of somebody, but I guess I was too noisy in the truck, and then I pulled in the driveway and totally lost it. So I decided, well, I'll come in and get it programmed into the radio.
You said you're in the rocket chair. Are you at a base station, or are you with a HT right now?
Charlie,
have the FTM 500 J2, so the head unit has a speaker in it, so I just ran a Ethernet cable out here and mounted the head out here on a tripod stand, and I could sit here in the rocking chair and talk on the radio.
That's actually really smart, creative, and pretty damn awesome. I had one of those. I'm on an FTM-150 RAS now. I had a 500. I had a Lemon. Went back to EAC twice. Had some weird audio issues, so I ended up moving that along at a heavily discounted price, and then I picked up FTM-150, and I've been very happy with that, but that's the main reason I ended up on these radios, is that speaker in the head.
Victor, I got 3 Charlie,
yeah, portable. I think that 150 is supposed to be a pretty nice radio, isn't it?
Yeah, with that ASP thing, it's unbelievable. I don't really need a crazy radio in the truck. I talk on, this repeater is linked to the FBI network. I'm not sure if you're aware with that, so there's quite a few repeaters linked up. And pretty much anywhere I go, I'm able to hit one of those, and they're all analog. So all I really need is an analog radio in the truck. And I think we heard a Victor Echo station. Is that what I heard? Victor Echo, Charlie, maybe? All right, nothing heard. N9 DOA, all you.
Yeah, okay. What kind of network did you say it was on?
I just switched repeater, so hopefully I'm a little cleaner now. So this is the, I don't know that that's an FBI, I don't believe that's an FBI repeater, but it's the K8 FBI Flying Deers. There's, Flying Deers is linked to Central Michigan Emergency Network, and I don't know if the machine you're on is part of either one of those, or if it's just linked in. So there's a whole bunch of them all over Southeast Michigan.
Okay, what repeater are you on right now?
So when we first started, I was on one of the Central Michigan repeaters in downtown Mount Clemens, and now I'm on the Flying Deers repeater, which is in Warren. So I'm
as I work my way north, I have to flip through a couple. I could run the one here on pretty much all the way home, but there are a couple spots where it gets a little squirrely, so I just stick to my routine of flipping through these as I go north.
Roger that. That's understandable. We just got them pre-programmed into a memory channel, and that's kind of neat. So are these always hooked together?
I'd say 95 to 99% of the time as of recently. They used to, Central Michigan wasn't always linked up to the Flying Deer's Hub, the FBI network, but I'd say the last 6 months, five, 6 months it has been.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that network. So is there a website I can go to and find out what repeaters are linked up?
There is. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. Hold on. Yeah, I do not know the website off the top of my head. I do know it is Flying Deer's Amateur Radio Club, if that helps at all.
Okay, yeah, I'll Google that and see what I can come up with.
It's a pretty darn good network. It's what, I'm a newer ham. I got my technician in 2022, and this was the first network I ever talked on and met a lot of good guys at Elmer and me, so a lot of them are still here and still doing the same thing, so it's a good network to hang out on. There's a pretty decent amount of activity, I'd say. Usually in the morning, commute time, so I don't know what time you're driving to work, but usually we're all on around 7 to about 7:30.
Okay, yeah, I'm heading to work about 6:20, and I start at 7, so I won't hear you.
At ABDF, yeah, some of the times we're on earlier, some of the times we're on later, but for the most part, it's usually around 7, we're all jumping on here, but yeah, good group of guys, quite a few of them out here, but all different times, and everyone's, you know, going different directions and doing different things.
Roger that. Yeah, I tried to get in on a conversation earlier on my way home, but they were talking about some old stuff, and they were talking about darts, or lawn darts back in the day. It's like, yeah, you know, they outlawed those. Well, I was just smart enough to stay out from underneath the thing. That's all it takes. It's a little brains, but people get stupid with that stuff, and then they have to outlaw them. I actually still have a set of the originals.
That's how it goes. It's the same reason warning labels exist. People do something stupid once.
Out of that, I should get them out and play. I remember using those as kids. That was a fun game.
Those were before my time, but we did play beer darts, which I think is a similar concept, but it involves putting a can of beer at your feet, and then a can of, it's kind of like you set up like bags, or I imagine lawn darts, and you're throwing your dart at your beer, or your partner's beer, I should say, and the first team to drink the beer wins. So you got to drink it to where the hole's at.
Oh, yeah, these look like darts that you'd throw at a dartboard, but they were much bigger and heavier, and you would set up a ring in the grass at opposite ends, and you'd toss your lawn dart, your jarp, as they called it, and try to get it to stick inside the ring, and of course, whoever got the most in the ring won the game, or I'm assuming you probably added up points, but anyway, yeah, it was fun.
Like bocce ball and darts.
Yeah, roger that. M9 DOA.
So if you've got a 500 as your base station, what are you running in the truck?
I got a Yaesu 857D.
Oh, so you're doing a little HF in the truck too?
Yeah, roger that. I have a Tar Heel antenna on the mount near the back of the truck, and it works really well. I've made more out of country contacts on that than I have off the lawn wire that I have set up here at the house.
I've heard good things about those Tar Heels. You have them mounted on the hitch or the bed rail?
It's on the bed rail. There's a company called Breed Love Mounts. Breed as in B-R-E-E-D, the word love, L-O-V-E, mounts, M-O-U-N-T-S. And he makes all kinds of mounts for different antennas for your trucks and stuff. But that's where I got the mount. Fits right in the hole of the bed rail there. And extends out over the cab, like five, 3 inches maybe. And the antenna mounts right to that, and they're rock solid mounts.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've got a Comet 2x4SR on a Breedlove mount on the passenger front bed rail of my Silverado, and it's the best antenna setup I've had to date. My last truck I had a Tacoma, I had the brake light mount where it kind of, it was like an angle bracket that came out above the brake light. I didn't care for that a whole lot, and then previous trucks were, you know, mag mounts or whatever, but yeah. Man, for the money, they're great quality. I just wish he'd offer a powder-coated version. I spray-painted mine black, and it looks horrible. I got to take it off and sand it all down again. I'd rather it just be one color instead of a flaky color.
Gotcha. Okay. Boy, this repeater's fading out on me, I noticed.
Is it swirling? I don't think it would be me. I'm looking at the repeater I'm on right now.
No, not you at all. It's at my end. I noticed the repeat signal went way down.
TZ8JF, you guys both sound good and clear to me. I'm in Royal Oak.
Okay, well, that's good to know, because I wasn't sure.
Oh, by the way, the website is flyingbeers.org. If you drop that in, it'll redirect you to the Facebook page, and there's a post right at the top that has three of the repeaters on it, Warren, Richmond, and Romeo.
Could you spell that for me? My ears were kind of slow.
Sure thing. It's flyingbeers.org. B-E-E-R-S. flyingbeers.org.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. My name is Jason. I'm in Royal Oak. How you doing, Dakota?
Thanks for jumping in, Jason. I was trying to find it. I'm like, how the hell do I not remember what this is? I knew it was something simple, but I'm doing good, man. Just making my way home. And I'm on the Romeo repeater right now. That's why I said I'm looking at it, because I was at literally downtown Romeo. So everyone's sounding great, whoever else we got out here. I think there was a breaking station, but I couldn't get a copy on it.
Yeah, I heard him a few minutes back, and then he didn't come back. So, yeah, I'm on Warren right now, and, yeah, everything sounds great.
I'm trying to think how far, by the way, my name's Eric. Trying to think of how far Warren is from me.
It's north of Detroit, so it's not close.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
And they only get more north from there. I didn't catch a beer from it. There's Warren and Richmond and Romeo, and those just head further out.
Just maybe a point of correction. I think it's k8fbi.org. If anyone knows, it's you.
Guess they both work. Yeah, I actually found it on the ARRL website under the club listing, and the flyingbeers.org redirected to the Facebook, so multiple ways.
Yeah, the one you gave me earlier, I think you said K8FBI. That took me to an all-star monitor thingy. But the one you gave me earlier did take me to that Facebook page.
That all-star dashboard will tell you where those repeaters are and what's linked up, though. So that's probably more accurate than what you're going to find on the Facebook page.
Yeah, the Facebook page, that post is a couple of years old, but if you look on that monitor, like Dakota said, you'll see the frequencies on there. You should see the repeater listings, be able to get them all.
Okay, yeah, I kind of wondered if maybe it was using All-Star for the link, because that seems to be the easiest way to do that. Yeah, I'm on the 442.175 repeater.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, nice talking to you fellas. It's been a while, Dakota, but I'm about to go grab some dinner. So have a safe drive home. Talk to you guys later. 73 KZHAF clear.
Take it easy, man. Good talking to you. Don't be a stranger. And, yeah, I'm going to jump out here. Eric, I just missed a call that I got to take before I get home. I don't want to deal with it when I get home. So, see what my buddy wants before I get there and then go eat some dinner myself. So it was a pleasure talking to you. Pleasure meeting you. Hopefully I hear you out here soon. This network seems to be ever-growing, so meeting all kinds of people, not a bad thing. Have a good night, and I'll be clear of yours at 8DBF.
All righty. Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for the info there. You and I forgot his name already, but yeah, I know you want to deal with that call now because you don't want to deal with it at home because you want that rocking chair. 73, have a good evening. And 9DOA clear.
W8FU.
KF8EAP.
Good afternoon, or good evening, I guess, would be more apropos.
Yeah, I just got home from work. I was listening on the way home, but there was nothing going on too much.
Well, kind of late to be getting home. I've been home for a while. Oh, man. I got to run to the hardware store. I got a light switch that's funky. Want to replace it before it starts a fire or something. And that's about it. Got tomorrow off.
I should have taken tomorrow off. I'm actually getting ready to go finish putting the new shower up in the master bathroom, then continue on to the master bedroom, getting the walls finished sanding and painted.
Very good. Yeah, I need a complete renovation, everything, paint, carpet, all that stuff. Every room in my house.
One at a time, it'll get her done. This is like the third room I've done. Like the fourth, you count the bathroom and bedroom and one.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, because if you decide to do everything one, it's just forget it, because where do you put everything if you're doing them all, you know? So you do one, it's easy to clear out one, and then do it, and then put everything back, and then move on to the next, you know? So that's obviously the easier way to go. And also, you know, you can knock them out, pay it off, knock it out, pay it off, you know, a lot easier. You do it all at once, you get a bigger bill, so it might be a little harder to swallow, depending on how much you got to do.
That's true. It's also a good time to remove a bunch of junk that you've collected and didn't realize that's just stored in all the corners, but it's a lot cheaper when you do it yourself, and I've learned over the years how to do things right, which makes it a lot better. And I had to take a small break in doing rooms after the pandemic because prices just skyrocketed so much. They finally started coming down a little bit on materials, though.
I didn't catch the call on the breaker, but I just pulled up at Ace Hardware. I got to run inside and get my switch. Back in a bit. W8FU, the breaking station, go ahead.
Alrighty, November 9, dead on arrival. I'll be standing by.
Try to give it a little time tomorrow, see what happens.
Okay. Well, if you're like the rest of us, you'll get it.
So, I'm sure you will, so.
All right, Anthony, I gotta let you go
through my call out here, so you take care, and I'm gonna go back because I'm running out of daylight here. WAB.
All right, have a great evening. We'll catch up with you soon.